This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Students across the country are struggling, and regular absences are not helping things. A new law aims to keep kids in school this fall.
So much time in the past has been tracking whether it's an excused or an unexcused absence. And the bottom line is, if they're not there, they're not getting instruction.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. Nearly 20,000 active duty military service members died from 2006 to 2021. That's not to mention thousands of veterans who died from issues tied to their service. Dubbed Gold Star families, the loved ones of service members who die are left with grief that can last a lifetime. But many of these families turn their hardship into an opportunity to help others in need. West Virginia University graduate Emily Zirkelbach spoke with reporter Jack Walker about what she learned from several Gold Star families across West Virginia.
Emily, we are here today to talk about your story on Gold Star families in West Virginia. To begin, could you tell me a little bit about yourself, your background?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Emily Zirkelbach. I am a WVU alumna, and I majored in journalism, where I kind of grew my love for storytelling by my experience with that. And at the same time, I was going through the AFROTC program with the Air Force, and that's where I recently commissioned. So I am now a second lieutenant in the Air Force. So that's really cool. And I found this story through some colleagues that are in the Arnold Air Society program, which is affiliated with the Air Force. And they were doing their community service project with Gold Star families. And through that, I started researching and getting involved with the project. And that's where I met Shirley White and Terry Cunningham, who were previous and current chapter presidents. And it really just took off from there.
Got it. And you use the term Gold Star family. Could you explain to me what a Gold Star family is and what that organization does for the veteran community here in West Virginia?
Yeah, absolutely. So a Gold Star mother or a Gold Star family is one that has had a child or a family member pass away during military service. And these members have either died in action or in other cases have passed away from lingering issues after coming home. So, for example, according to the Gold Star Family Registry, there's about 7,395 Gold Star families in the state of West Virginia alone. But these are just the families that have registered with the organization. And this doesn't really count the people that have lost loved ones that have not registered with the program.
And you mentioned earlier, Shirley White and Terry Cunningham are two people highly involved in Gold Star organizations or families here in West Virginia. Could you tell me a little bit about them and how they got involved in this project and what their stories are?
Yeah, so I worked mostly with two Gold Star moms, Shirley White and Terry Cunningham. Shirley lost two of her boys, Bobby and Andrew, to military service. Bobby was lost in Afghanistan in 2005 due to an attack on his convoy. And Andrew was lost in 2008 after he came home from complications due to PTSD. And Terry lost her son, Robert, in 2018, also to complications of PTSD.
And it sounds like they kind of turned these experiences of hardship into some community building and community resources. What are some of those resources that these Gold Star mothers and Gold Star families offer to people who have lost loved ones?
Yeah, so there's two different levels kind of with the Gold Star program. There's a national level and a local level. And on the national level, it's more supported kind of federally, and they have larger projects that they can do, like give scholarships to students, name highways after local heroes, erecting monuments, et cetera. And anything further than that the local chapters want to do is they're categorized as a nonprofit, but they have to be supported by donations and fundraising. And so that kind of affects the resources that the local level has. For example, the chapter here in West Virginia was rechartered in 2012 by Shirley White and her colleague Emma Johnson, and they started with five members, and they've been able to increase that group by about 16 more members up until 2018, and it's still growing to this day. So that's part of why I wanted to do this story, to bring awareness to the program and the resources that they offer so that they can keep doing the great work that they are.
And you mentioned that obviously on the local level, things are different from a state-to-state basis. What are some of the particular things that the Gold Mothers of West Virginia do in their chapter?
So in my communication with the mothers, they told me that specifically their mission is to support the veterans in their community. They help them with things like paying their bills. They bring them food and water and things like that. I had the privilege of joining them on one of their activities where they were serving lunch to some disabled veterans that were taking part in a Challenged Athletes of West Virginia event, where the veterans were able to ski with specialized equipment that works with their specific disability. And that was a really awesome experience. And they told me that they want to help these veterans because their sons were never able to be veterans. And so it's really important for them to be involved in that program.
And obviously this sounds like something that had a lot of, you know, emotional underpinning to it and a lot of really strong feeling for these families involved. I'm curious for you as like the journalist who reported this story, what was your experience like bringing this story in and meeting these mothers and families and talking to them?
I mean, it was an extremely emotional experience. I was able to complete this story based on the contribution of a lot of different people, and each of them has their own stories. And I learned so much in such a short time and really got to know the community of these people. And they're some of the most kind-hearted, strong-willed, and dedicated people that I've come to know. Each of these moms and families have given the ultimate sacrifice, and I don't think I could put into words, let alone understand for myself what these mothers and families have been through. But they get up each day looking for ways to be of service to the people in their community. And that really inspires me.
We've talked about the work that they're doing and sort of the impact they've had here. But if there's one thing that you could say to wrap up the moral of the story and their work, what would it be?
Something that the mother said to me that really resonated was, you die twice, the physical death and when your name is no longer said. And what these mothers want is to have their children's names said and to have their children remembered and keep their spirits alive. And really, that was the purpose of this story, to get people to know these family stories and have their children's names said.
That was Emily Zirkelbach speaking with Jack Walker about her reporting on Gold Star families in West Virginia. To read Emily's story online, visit our website at wvpublic.org. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:50. Mostly sunny skies today, afternoon showers and thunderstorms, high temperatures in the 80s and 90s. Tonight, a chance of rain and thunderstorms, lows in the 60s. Partly sunny tomorrow with highs in the 70s and 80s. Support for WVPB is provided by Marshall Health Network Arena, entertaining Huntington and West Virginia since 1977. Information at mhnarena.com. And by Extreme Networks, providing customer-driven networks with Extreme Cloud IQ Wi-Fi fabric solutions and local support in West Virginia. Online at extremenetworks.com. West Virginia students are struggling to achieve proficiency in basic academic skills like reading and math, according to national test scores in recent years. One possible contributing factor, chronic absenteeism. But as Chris Schultz reports, a new law hopes to address the issue this fall.
Chronic absenteeism is defined as missing 10% or more of the school year. In West Virginia, that adds up to at least 18 days, or almost a full month of missed instruction. It could be 18 days in a row, or just 2 days a month across the school year. At a meeting of the West Virginia Senate Education Committee in February, State Superintendent Michelle Blatt laid out the problem for legislators.
We have about 34-35% of our students that are chronically absent. When you're missing 1, 2, 3 days a month out of instruction, you're not only getting behind yourself, but our teachers are having to struggle to catch that child up while continuing to move forward with the rest of the class. So it has a huge impact on the achievement, really, of all students in the school when we're dealing with these chronic absenteeism issues.
Blatt presented those insights as part of a discussion on Senate Bill 568, which requires schools to establish meaningful contact with parents or guardians after just one unexcused absence. It ultimately passed, but not until most schools were preparing for summer break. So it won't really be tested until the fall. One big change: schools won't wait to get the details of an absence. If a student is out without a valid excuse, the family gets a call immediately.
One of the things that this bill really does is create a system of support around attendance for our students. So it frees up our attendance directors' counselors, social workers, and those people in our counties to truly focus on what's causing this chronic absenteeism issue and what are the things that we need to put in place. Because so much time in the past has been tracking whether it's an excused or an unexcused absence. And the bottom line is if they're not there, they're not getting instruction.
The bill also requires schools create a system of support or SOS plan to encourage students to attend school. Stacey Losh is a coordinator in the Office of District and School Improvement for the West Virginia Department of Education.
The goal of every school is to create an environment where kids want to be there every day, that it is a safe environment, that it is a positive environment. These are interventions that don't just impact attendance. They will impact learning. They'll impact behavior. This plan that the schools have been asked to create will, you know, take a look at how we do create that environment.
Losh says each school's approach to absenteeism will have to be tailored to their needs, with the support of a local team and the State Department of Education. The important message of chronic absenteeism is that students are missing instructional time.
I've said this to the attendance directors, I say this to principals, no one can do this alone. Universal, what we're working on right now is positive messaging about attendance and motivational strategies to get kids, you know, what motivates them to be there.
The plan must also communicate to parents and guardians the importance of attendance and the seriousness of failing to do so. That part may be the key. A recent NPR Ipsos poll shows only 6% of parents surveyed identified their child as chronically absent, compared to a national average of 30% chronic absenteeism. In the same poll, only 5% of parents surveyed identified chronic absenteeism as a major concern. Tom Williams is the superintendent of Kanawha County Schools, the state's largest school district. He sees the issue of student motivation in his schools.
I don't know that everyone values education. It's almost sometimes, I think, taken for granted by some folks, and it shouldn't be. It's a right, but it's also a privilege in my mind.
Williams says another factor is that during the COVID-19 pandemic, students and teachers grew accustomed to accessing materials online. Now, he says teachers are being encouraged to make materials less accessible outside of the classroom.
During COVID, we had to put everything online. We're dialing that back significantly. It's necessary to come to school rather than to go online and check and see what your assignments are. Nothing beats face-to-face interaction with the teacher.
One change SB 568 made is to allow attendance directors to make legal complaints to magistrates if a student has 10 or more unexcused absences. Senator Jay Taylor, a Republican from Taylor County, is the lead sponsor of the bill. He says the legal complaints simply give communities another tool to address absenteeism in the form of the courts.
Some of them were coming to me and saying, hey, we can't be involved. The way the law is structured there, our hands are tied and we can't. Giving them this ability to be involved, the ones that see that opportunity, was where we felt that, like, okay, we can be making a difference here.
But there is concern about further involving the legal system in schools and possibly criminalizing parents.
I think it's really a last resort, because taking parents to court when maybe it's a single mother and she has to work 12-hour shifts to feed the kids and she's not home, when it's time to go to school, there's just so many things that you have to look at before the courts come into play, I think.
Taylor says that's the motivation some serious cases may need.
This gives them teeth. This gives them the power, whereas, you know, just the administrator at the school has to be the nice guy. They're powerless. They can't do something to say, hey, you have to do this. Whereas the judge and the prosecutors, they actually do have the power and the teeth. It's the proper place to have it.
For now, students can enjoy their summer break. But in about 7 weeks, administrators across West Virginia will see if this new approach can keep students in school and learning. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Chris Schultz in Morgantown.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, and Maria Young. Chris Schultz produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.